So, hey guys, welcome to the UpTribe podcast again. Frank and Jay here, and with our friend Ryan Kelly. This podcast is sponsored by Gabriel Machuret. He runs AppsProfitLab.com, coaching that helps people make money and find their path in the App Store industry. He knows his stats and has helped us tons, so definitely check it out to take your app business to the next level. So, hey guys, are you there?
All here.
Yes, yes.
Cool.
So this week we're going to be talking with Ryan about the five different business archetypes of entrepreneurs. So these are the five types that we've come across in our experience. We're also going to be telling you a little bit about how we got started and one recommendation for all of you newbies out there.
Sounds good.
So Ryan, I think you had a pretty good definition of newbie. Do you want to get started with that one? We can move on to the next one afterwards.
Oh, did I? All right. I just think a newbie is somebody who just has no apps. They're curious. They've read that they can make tons of money, but they don't know how, don't know where to get started. And so that's a newbie. Has one app. Maybe has one app. They purchased through Flippa, or maybe they're doing a course, or they've just bought some source code, and I call that a newbie, the person who has probably less than five apps.
For me, it'd be someone who's seen it in the news. For example, like, you know, the Flappy Bird clone, someone saw it in the news and they're like, oh, I want to build apps. I can make this much money. And yeah, I guess it's basically, a newbie.
It's like, I think a newbie would be someone that, has like maybe like five apps in the store, but like he keeps repeating the same mistakes and not learning from the data that he gets from the apps he publishes. So yeah, it's like tons, and like the first app is so much difficult to start with, you know? And then you start like the second one, third one, and all the flow process just gets easier. And there are some guys that they are in the newbie stage and they just like keep publishing apps. They can have like up to 10, 15, and they just like not making money, and they just like complaining. Just like, I guess like they just like publishing Flappy Bird clones all the time and just like following whatever is the trend out there in Chupa Mobile or places like that.
I think the majority of people fall into the newbie category. Like, from what I've seen in like all these Facebook groups where I've spoken to a few people, the majority of reskinners are newbies in the sense that there's no thought behind it, but there's no business sense behind it. I guess that's sort of the next two stages where you sort of graduate from becoming a newbie to a reskinner.
What are your thoughts on that, Brian?
I think reskinning can be either a business or it could be a way to make money. And I think I agree with you. I think people just look at it as a way to make money. And they get an app, they might change the title, or they do change the title, but they might change some of the graphics. Then they put it out and sit back and say, 2 weeks down the road, why am I not making any money? This app hasn't made any money, and they've reskinned a Match 3 or a Flappy Bird or something like this. But they don't understand the whole thing is not art; it's science, and the science is it's a factory, and that's how you're making money. So you produce as many apps for as cheap as possible and do it as fast as possible, and stay ahead of the trends. So the new source code comes out, you get the source code, and you're already reskinning that, multiple times. That's what I consider a reskinning. A reskinner is somebody who actually has a business. And so, they've got the 100 apps or 200 apps or apps that are making, not much per app, but are based on the number of apps are actually bringing in, a portfolio, I guess. So, I mean, that's reskinning. It's quite a broad spectrum, because you have everyone from, the newbies all the way to the guys that have, done a reskin and got like the luckily lottery ticket and got in the top 10, with it. So.
And the next stage, I think, is publisher. I think that's a good question, actually. Where do you think you're at the moment, Ryan? Obviously, you're a newbie, so.
Right now, I'm just kind of bridging that gap. What I like to think that I'm doing is taking the lessons that I learned from reskinning and all the mistakes that I made and money that I lost and the processes that I developed and now I'm applying them to developing apps from scratch. And so whether that's with Unity or BuildBox or other type content based apps. I've really feel like I've kind of left those, taken those reskinning training wheels off, and I'm a big boy now. I'm
riding your own.
I relate more to the indie developer and indie publisher than I do with the reskinning world. I've kind of. Like to think I've moved past that, but I still kind of have my foot still in there, because I am updating some of my apps at the moment.
So far we have talked about like the newbie, the reskinner, and now I think you touch like the publisher too, like the third one. And I should add, like in that one, becoming a publisher is like, in my mind, is also when you start publishing indie, like third-party apps. So like all these indie developers out there that they don't understand about marketing, and of course you are like the master publisher, like the master marketer. So just like you get like some kind of deals or whatever, and just start like collaborating with them. So just like partnerships with indie developers.
More joint ventures, right? More joint ventures, like they develop, you market. They develop the market, like.
Yeah, well, I think that this is, this would be a whole podcast within itself, and something that recently I've had very good luck with, because I realized I couldn't do it all. I couldn't do the marketing. I couldn't deal with the dev team and the graphics and organizing all of these things, and I couldn't afford to hire an agency to do these things. So it was necessary for me to partner with other people so that we could divide the jobs up. And anybody who hasn't done that or might be struggling, I would highly recommend finding the right people, which is important, and developing a partnership and saying, well, you do this and I'll handle this and we'll both work together on this. And I mean, sure, it cuts down on your profit, but I think that it means that you're able to produce better apps and not give yourself a heart attack at the same time,
which is important.
So okay, and to the next one,
hobbyists. Yeah, I don't know much about the hobbyist market. I think I relate more to like the reskinner publishing. Obviously, the newbie at one stage as well. So, I had met hobbyists actually, because I used to go to quite a lot of networking events, and they'd just be guys, I guess, putting up one or two apps a month just for the fun of it, and they made like $20 from it or something a month. It was nothing. They weren't going to live off of it. They just did it for the fun of doing it. If they didn't make money, they didn't make money.
Yeah, I've seen the same thing. I think that there's a lot of guys within Unity, and I know there's loads of resources on the internet for. People who have no experience with gaming or 3D or any of these things, but they can find free YouTube videos about how to get started. And I wish I could remember what it was, but there's actually a dedicated website to people who are hobbyist gamers who are building their own apps or building their own games. And I've also heard of people that they might have a job, their day job is working for a large company where they're somewhat involved with app development, and then nights and weekends they're kind of doing their own projects and kind of those types of people tend to build apps that kind of scratch their own itch. And are you trying to think of the fifth one now?
Yeah, we got the fifth one. It's the developer.
The developer.
My observation of this is, like, if you're a publisher, you need to find a developer, and if you're a developer, you need to find a publisher. Like, just looking at what we've arranged here.
It's like I've been so, like, developer. Who is he? He's like someone that spends all his, like, that's my definition of it. It's like someone that spends all his time just like programming, puts the app out there, and really doesn't spend any time in analyzing the user that he's catering to. You know, like, they put the app and he's like, why is it not working? And it's because, like, they haven't done the work in the marketing side, marketing wise.
Yeah, it's also their idea or nothing. Like, this might be my definition of a developer, just someone holed up in like a bat cave.
Just programming.
Programming for hours on end. Not even looking at, like, speaking to someone about the idea. It's like, this is it, and you'll see it when it's done. And it's more like a work of art than it is a business.
Like Mark Zuckerberg, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that those people tend to do less research, and they might come up with you know, great code that's written very well. But the other disadvantage they have is, like you said, it tends to be their baby, so they never end up releasing the app because it's never right. So 8, 9, 10 months go by, and they release the app not having not done any research, and chances are it's gonna flop, and it could have been a big waste of time.
I completely agree with that.
So yeah, let's talk about how you got started. I think we've covered the five different types. Everyone sort of knows where we fit in. I think we're at the reskinning stage still.
Yes, let's talk about this. Like, Ryan and then us. That would be interesting.
So Ryan, okay, well, I actually just on a chance meeting, I met Chris Chidgey from the App Business Podcast, and we were at a Dynamite Circle convention in Bangkok, and waiting for food. And he said, I said, what do you do? And he's like, oh, you know, what do you do? And he said, oh, I do mobile apps. And here began this great conversation. And I was so excited. And I said, oh, mobile apps. And it's all I could think about. And I just kept asking him, you know, how do you do it? And what do you do? And where do you buy source code? And then for the next few weeks after that, I just, it was all I could do. I just tried to read everything that I could. And I read, you know, Chad Moretta's book, and you know, I found Blue Cloud Solutions, and but I couldn't wait to get the source code and have it reskinned. And because I couldn't wait, I just went to Flippa, and at that time there were maybe 4 apps that were for sale on Flippa, and I bought an app, and it was in the app store, and it was called Kung Food Fighter. It's like a Fruit Ninja app, and the day that it made like 10 cents or whatever, I mean, you would have thought that I had made tens of thousands of dollars, because I was so excited. And it was under my name too. So it wasn't under the company name. It was under actually my name. So that made it even more. So when I would log on to the iTunes store and the App Store, I would see my name. And for me, that was, I don't know. I just loved it. So that's kind of how I got in, but it wasn't long after that before I started buying code from Carter from Blue Cloud Solutions, and going out and trying to find my own devs and graphic artists.
Yeah, I mean, on that topic, actually, we've been speaking to Chris. He's such a super, super helpful guy, so I'm sure he accelerated your growth.
Are you there? Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, he's really the one that kind of got it all started for me, and he answered all my silly questions. And actually, every month or a couple of months, I try and call him and ask him even more silly questions. But he's definitely a leader and very helpful.
Frank, how did you get started?
So yeah, it's like my process. So I started in these apps even before Jay. I had around 10 apps in the store when I pretty much convinced, not even convinced, I showed Jay what I was doing. I was in the Nuvi phase because I was just launching apps without without looking into what was working. I was just buying code and just putting some graphics and launching it. So like total newbie. Then I met Jay. We were sharing a flat. He started doing the same after I told him what I was doing and where I learned from. And then he just like put a couple of apps out there. And then we decided to start working together. And that was last May. So we have been working together for 4 or 5 months. And I'm pretty sure right now it's just like, which our mindset just shift from being like a completely newbie to start looking into app reskinning more as a business. So that's why we have been spending all this time in building a team. And I'd say we are like in the reskinner phase. Like we pretty much reskin apps, but like at the same time we start building our own. So I guess like we are a mix between 70% reskinning, 30% publishing, but like moving towards the publishing side of things.
Yeah, yeah. And as Frank said, yeah, I looked at what he was doing one day and I was like, my life sucks. I need to be making apps. What is this? So, within 2 weeks, I consumed every single resource that Frank had. And then, like, I was pretty much up to speed within, like, 4 weeks. And then, yeah, just got started on the first apps, which were the most expensive apps I've ever built. And they haven't made
any money.
Yeah, they haven't made any money back. So that's, like, a classic newbie sign. You spend a lot of money and don't make anything. I think, like, a good way to move from newbie to reskinner is you want to start building your own team. You want to start, like you said, Ryan, you want to start getting the cost per app down. And you want to be putting a consistent amount of apps out there. So I think that's how you jump from newbie to reskinner. For me, anyways, that's how it happened.
Wow. So what about you, Ryan? Do you just like, right now, what are you doing? Are you publishing your own apps? Or like moving towards more publishing side of things? Or like maybe getting even deals with like, in like partnerships with developers?
Well, that's what I'm doing right now. You know, I'm in a few different partnerships and developing a few different kinds of apps. But I think one thing that's important to know, if I wouldn't have, you know, managed to put myself out there to meet people and sort of network, I probably still would be reskinning. But I managed to meet people by doing ASO and for their apps, and then saying, you know, offering to do the sort of ASO side of it, and they handle the development side of it. So I guess I've been pretty lucky in that way. And I think that if somebody were to want to make that jump from, you know, and say, well, I want to leave reskinning, I think it needs to be a gradual departing, like you guys are doing. So slowly, you can't stop producing apps and reskinning, because that's your income. But I think that slowly you need to start looking at ways of either repurposing the source code, as in adding to it, adding levels, or using a different kind of software such as Unity to do games, or the route that I'm going, which is doing more content-based apps. Look at those apps are very affordable to develop, and especially building hybrid apps. So I would definitely look at building hybrid and starting to learn a little bit about that when you make that jump from reskinning into publishing and developing your own apps.
Yeah, definitely. I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think what you said there, I don't know if you emphasized it or not, but it's quite important, was the networking. I think that takes you from reskinner to publishing. I think for us, I think we've started to network more now, and you learn so much more from the other people within the industry. I think, again, if you stick to your own sort of process and things, you're not going to grow. And there's a limit to how you can grow. So if you want to move from reskinning to publishing, definitely start contacting people. I mean, there's a couple of groups on Facebook which are really good. Like, there's a lot of value in them. and a lot of guys are doing pretty well in there. So yeah, just grow your network, really.
Well, and I think that you have to actually do it. You know, when you sit around and talk about doing it, you're never going to learn anything. It's like the guy, the developer who's, you know, trying to perfect the code and make the perfect code. And the guy in that 8 months that it takes to make the perfect code, you know, maybe somebody else has gone out and they've made 4 or 5 apps that have been complete flops. But you know what? From those 4 or 5 apps, they will have learned a lot. So I think by doing and just publishing, and of course, the first couple apps are just going to be like the first couple reskins, probably not going to do very well. But you're going to learn a whole lot about how to get the price down and increase, you know, and to find a market that works and test and put out that MVP.
Cool. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
So
finally, one recommendation for, I think we've covered it really, haven't we?
Yeah, so like if you would have to suggest or recommend something to a total newbie, what would you say? I think you, Ryan, said before we started recording this podcast a really good point.
Well, I kind of have it too. Two ways. The one is I just can't recommend appfresh.com and Johan Taub enough, because he's got code, and he's not a code seller. He is a teacher, and he teaches people how to reskin apps. He's got great videos. I think there's even some that have free source codes. And there's other people as well on Udemy that also offer these free source codes. But before you go into Chupa Mobile and pick whichever source code you think looks good and then get it and then try and go and do it, do a couple courses that he has and learn about every aspect of how to create a reskin. And he shows you how to source graphics. He shows you how to create your own graphics. And he really, there is so much to be learned from the courses that he does. The other thing I would say is go on Flippa. And if you just can't wait, like me, it was a good experience for me. And it will really show you very quickly how much money you're not going to make when you buy an app on Flippa. But what you can do with that is it's a chance for you to learn. It's just like a petri dish, and you can, you know, pick up some courses from Gabriel Marcharet on, you know, either on ASO Professional or go on to Udemy, and he's got plenty of resources there, and you can learn a little bit more about ASO and about apps and how to build, you know, how to really build your reskinning factory in order to make. Well, in order to not lose all your money and actually, you know, make a profit. But that's the biggest thing is I think I would have to say is just education. Don't read the books. I mean, you read the book and you're there's a few books that we all know by very famous people that make a lot of money, not from their own apps, but from, you know,
teaching.
Yeah, not teaching, by selling, I should say, by selling their source code, you know. Johan is a really good guy. I would just say that doing those courses will teach you a lot. And I think for a newbie, that's my biggest recommendation is educate yourself before jumping in and buying any source code at all.
Yep. Sounds good. So like you're going to find all these recommendations from Ryan in the show notes, and you are going to find them in the apptribe.co/types. T-Y-P-E-S.
As in 5 types.
So if you want to get in contact with Ryan, just like you're going to find also the links in the show notes. And if you have any questions for us, you can find us at theapptribe.co. And to finish it up, if you like the show, just leave us a review in iTunes, theapptribe.co/iTunes. We are going to appreciate. Just if you think that this show deserves it, just like leave the 5 stars and like an honest review, and vice versa. Just like gives us some feedback if you think we need it.
Awesome.
So
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Thanks for Ryan for coming on again, once again.
Thanks, guys.